Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Afternoon, UFCCM friends and supporters. This is teacher Margaret Tindall extending our usual hearty and warm welcome to all of our listeners who are on the phone, who are on Facebook, or on our UFCCM.org website. This is the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast, and we continue to praise God for allowing us to come together to connect by means of the medium of Blog Talk Radio. And we are so appreciative of you, our listening audience, and are so thankful for your continuing and ongoing commitment to this anointed radio teaching ministry. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, praising you and giving you glory for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together one more time to glorify you, to learn of you, Father, and to be inspired to do the work that you have assigned to our hands. Father, we ask you to bless our entire UFCCM, our prelate, all of our bishops, all of our affiliates, everyone from everywhere, and our supporters who so faithfully join in to this radio ministry. Father, we ask you to bless us today as we discuss a timely topic and, more importantly, inspire and enlighten us to be able to use what we learned today to build up your kingdom, to glorify you in the world. Father, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name, and we say thank you. Amen. Well, we are, again, happy to have all of you with us today in our Ministry of Laity Training broadcast, and we are continually in the process of fulfilling our mission, and the mission that is so eloquently presented in Ephesians 4, to equip the people of God for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually through preparation and learning God's word. We are striving to reach higher, to do great things for the kingdom. And we're so excited because we are continuing our focus on reaching higher, which, as you know, is our theme for this year. And today we're doing something very special, and I'm really excited about this. We're featuring a panel discussion. And we have some panel members from three of our UFCCM jurisdictions who graciously agreed to serve on the panel today. And I want to let you know that our focus is the examination and discussion regarding some survey research about why people do and do not go to church. And when I first saw this research data, I was very moved by it, and I thought, what a wonderful discussion we could have about this, because this does have relevance for us as UFCCM laity, really all of us in UFCCM, because we all know that there has been a marked decrease in church attendance in this country as well as in some of our churches. And research has shown that America is not predominantly a Christian country anymore, which is very disheartening and shocking. But as we are focused on reaching higher, we want to examine what we can learn and apply from this research that will enable us to reach out and to extend our reach and encourage people to attend church, encourage them to hear and receive God's word, and more importantly, encourage them to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. This we know is in keeping with the Great Commission given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28:19, when he told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we know that having people come into the church is a critical way for them to be fed of the word, to hear the word. It's not the only way, but it is a critical way. And we want to be enabled to draw as many people as we can to come into God's house, to hear his word, and to be fed from his word. Before we get into the research results, which I think you all will find very interesting, let's hear from our panelists. Today we have on our panel Sister Monica Zindler, who is a member of the Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We are so happy to have Brother Raymond King, a member of Greater Realness Cathedral in West Monroe, Louisiana, and Elder Loretta Brooks of First Church of Faith, Power, and Deliverance, which happens to be the UFCCM Headquarters Church in Baltimore, Maryland. So I would like each of our panelists to take a minute or two to tell you a little about themselves. So let's start with Brother King. Good morning, Brother King.
Good morning, Teacher Tyndall. Like I said earlier, my name is Raymond King. I'm one of the ordained deacons in my church. I've been a member here under Bishop Don Banks, bishop over the North Louisiana district. Been in the ministry for some 16 years. So very happy to be here, very happy to be a member of this church, more or less a servant of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Brother King. We're so happy you're with us today. And Elder Loretta Brooks.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to hear everyone on the broadcast this morning. I am a Baltimorean native and born and raised here in Baltimore, Maryland. Like Tempted Teacher said, that I'm a member of First Church and been preaching the gospel since 2007. I got my license in 2009 under the UFCCM with Bishop Henry A. Tyndall, and I've been enjoying my life. I have been married since 1970. I have three children, and I just am very elated that I'm on this panel today to share with you what I have learned so far.
Well, thank you, Elder Brooks, and we're so happy to have you as well. I understand that our third panelist, Sister Monica, has not yet joined us, and we're hoping that during the course of the broadcast, she will be able to join in. I want you listeners to know that this is an open mic broadcast, and today we're going to do something different because we're going to be inviting you to call in during the broadcast to join in the discussion with our panelists and to respond to any of the questions that I'm going to be, the panelists will be discussing, or any of their responses, or to ask questions of your own or share comments. So I want to remind you that if you're on Facebook or on the UFCCM website, you must use your phone to call in. And the call-in number is 347-850-1405. And simply press 1 on your phone, and our wonderful program director, Bishop H.D. Haywood, will bring you right in so that you may have the opportunity to speak. So we know that One of the best ways to get information from people is to ask questions. And surveys are a commonly used way of getting information. So today we're going to be looking at a new Pew Research Center study, which is based on a survey of 4,700 over 4,700 Americans, telling precisely why they do or don't attend religious service or church. And some of their answers are unsurprising, but just a little bit about the source of this data. The Pew Research Center is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, non-advocacy organization which informs the public about issues. They do public opinion polls, demographic research, content analysis, and data-driven social science research. In other words, they ask people questions, mainly through surveys, and then they analyze the information that they receive and they share it. So, as we stated earlier, we want to examine the data that they found from this research about why people do or do not go to church and see what we can learn and what we can apply from this research that will enable us to encourage people to attend church, to hear and hopefully receive God's word and to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So let's get now right into the research. I shared this article with our panelists, so they are fully apprised of the results. Let's start with the top 10 reasons given by Americans who attend religious services at least once a month. The survey respondents were allowed to give more than one answer, and they were asked why they go to church. And I'm going to be sharing with you the results and the percentages. And the percentages that you will hear refer to people who said that this was very important to them. So let's see what they said. 81% of the respondents said they go to church to become closer to God. And I will note that more African Americans gave this response. Number two, so their children will have a moral foundation. 69% felt that was important. 68% said to become a better person. And African Americans were more likely than whites or Latinos to give that response. Number four, 66% said they go to church for comfort in times of trouble or sorrow. 59% said they found the sermons valuable. 57% said they go to church to be part of a faith community. And 37% said they go to continue their family's religious traditions. 31% said they felt obligated to go. They felt they had to go for whatever reason. 19% said they go to church to meet new people or to socialize. And 16%, mostly men, said they go to please their family, their spouse, or their partner. So those are the top reasons why people said they do attend church. So I want to ask our panelists, what do you think of these findings?
This is Brother King. Those findings, I think they're kind of accurate to a point of people's reasoning why. You know, a different church, you have different denominations, you have different personalities, you have different, but have different ways of worship. And I think with a lot of people, it's been, some take it as a traditional hand down. They grew up in it, so that's what they do, that's what they know. But I think with the upper percent of the relationship, why you go to church is solely on one soul, you know. Some go because they want to appease their family or they think it's the right thing to do. But ultimately, it ought to be for a better life in the afterlife, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know me personally, I have a wife and two sons, and the Bible has been charged as a man to be the priest of the home. So you know, I feel it a duty not to just make her happy or make my little boys better, but to show my sons that it's okay to worship God. You don't have to go to church just to wear a suit or to get a ticket punched, but it's ultimately to go because God is the head of our lives, and without God, there's no compass, and without a compass, how can we find our way through this life with so much happening every other day? You know, it's something here, it's something there. Politics are in disarray, but I ultimately believe that God is the only way through this life, and we come to serve God and for God to speak to us, show us how to live and how to act and how to be and how to go through this world that we live in. That's so topsy-turvy nowadays.
Yes, so true. Elder Brooks, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I was reading through this, and I was looking at the whole 10 answers, and I thought about it, and I looked at it. I said, well, to become closer to God was the one that I thought I would pick. First of all, you know, as a kid or children growing up, you have to do what the parents have you to do. If you had to go to church 7 days a week, that's what you did. And so I thought about it, and I said, at some point in time, it's okay to do it because that was the family tradition and your parents did it, your grandparents did it. But at some point in time in your life, you need to be able to make your own decision about whether you're going to go or whether you're going to serve God or not. And I thought about it, and I said, well, I had a problem going to church every night and every day and staying all night and praying all night. But it helped me growing up. You know, sometimes you don't understand what your parents are doing for you, but they're doing the right thing. And I had to learn that I needed to be closer to God at a certain age. And all these other things, you know, it's okay. But sometimes, you know, people are looking for an excuse not to go to church. And so I thought about this, and I thought this was really interesting to read this, and some of the things I agreed with and some of them I didn't.
Okay. We're going to have some more discussion about areas which we agree with and we disagree with, but you all are giving some really insightful breadth to this question. I understand that we now have Sister Monica Zindler on the line. Welcome, Sister Monica.
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
What do you think of the findings of this research for the top 10 reasons given by people for why they do go to church?
Well, I was excited to see that getting closer to God was up there at number one. And I do believe that that really is the primary reason that people go to church. And as I was reading the article, I thought, you know, I would like to see a follow-up to this. And the question asked, why do you return to a church? What draws you to go a second time, a third time, and become a member? And I think sometimes, you know, nowadays we're looking for a way to draw people, a gimmick, whatever it is. We have to do this program or that program. And I think really for me it has always been to draw closer to God. And I think that that God just needs us to be his conduit, to be his vessel, to be used by him to draw people closer to him. And we don't need to put on a great big show to do that.
Well, I like your thank you, Sister Monica, and I love your other question about why do you return to church to become a member. I think that would yield some very interesting insights that we could use as a means of drawing and attracting other people, and perhaps we'll have a chance to revisit that. But I wanted to ask you, panelists, since we know these reasons why people do go to church, and since you all have even articulated your primary reasons, how can we use that information to attract even more people to come to church? Any thoughts on that?
I just would say keep it real. You know, just keep it real. Keep the focus on Jesus Christ, keep it focused on helping people to get to know him, on the relationship. I think our society has is becoming so fragmented in relationships, and even social media interfering with communication. And I just feel like that is the biggest thing that Christ gives to me is my relationship with him. So teaching people how to develop that relationship, it seems to me from this survey, should be our primary goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any of our other panels want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what she said. It's ultimately about relationship. I think nowadays it seems like a part of that poll was basically responding off of religion. And today's church is not about religion, it's about relationship. So my relationship may not be as your relationship, but inside the church, we've got to share and find a, we got to find some kind of rapport to where we can relate to people and tell them about it's about relationship. It doesn't matter if you come 17 Sundays in a row. If you don't form a relationship for yourself right where you are, then church will become norm and it will not prepare you to come back. And you'll feel like, ultimately, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take it to, say, a marriage, if you're not happy in a marriage, then it kind of, you start weighing inside and internally, why am I still married? But now if you get with a person and you are able to talk and you all be in a relationship, you all find a commonality, you all can be naked, not in the sense of taking off clothes, but you can be straightforward, you can be honest, you can be pure with it, then that relationship compels you to come back. It drives you to want to give. And where you give is where basically your heart is. And after the heart, there goes a relationship. So as laity members, once they come to that ground, that plateau where they have a relationship with Christ for themselves, not for what they heard, not for who they seen, but when they develop for themselves, then that will prepare them to come back, because in a relationship, you try to outgive each other. And as you give yourself away to the Lord gives back to you. And it's like a cycle. It'll keep you coming back because you'll be drawn. Just like a deer panting out the water, you'll keep coming back for more and more and more. And your soul will begin to thirst. And that's where that relationship develops to, whereas it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It's about me and my personal relationship with the Lord. And it's going to draw you to come back.
Yes. And, you know, Brother King, when you talk about relationships too, the primary thing is our relationship with God. But also within the church, there are relationships among the saints, among the members. And
that's right.
It was interesting that this research showed that a large number of young adults who are younger than 30 say they visit mainly to socialize. Now, we know we want them to have a relationship with God, but that socialization process, meeting others, getting along with others, sharing with others, being encouraged by others, is also very important and accentuates and facilitates to a greater degree our relationship with God.
Right. To be honest, right now we're in the middle of building a new sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, you know Elder Fudge, Elder Carl Fudge.
Yes.
He, myself, Bishop, and a few other. It's funny you said young adults under 30. We have about maybe 5 to 6 young adults. We're in there now. We're putting together chairs. And this is on a Saturday morning. And here it's about 11:30. You know, they could be in the bed. They could be anywhere. But it's about church outside of church. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're meeting them right where they're at. What do you feel comfortable? Okay, you don't have to put a suit on to come. Just come and you put your sweatpants on. Bring a screwdriver. And right now we've got donuts on the inside, we've got juice on the inside, we're just having a great fellowship. So I'm kind of running in and out, just making sure, you know, that, hey, these guys are comfortable. They don't have to be someone at night, they can be themselves. But we're teaching them right now, you know, it's about relationship. We do have young adult ministries every Monday night. But right now, you know, this is off the radar. This is away from the church, even though we're in the church. But it's about relationship, you know. Come on out, you know. Pretty soon we'll probably get together. We'll have a prayer. We'll have a talk with them. But it's just keeping them comfortable right where they are, you know, teaching them that it's not about the suits. It's about
mm-hmm.
you and your heart. It's about your soul, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're actually doing right this minute.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. And as we think about Christ's relationship with his disciples, it didn't appear to always be about church. It was a personal friendship, a loving friendship one with another, caring and sharing and encouraging. So this issue of relationship is very important. I'm glad you raised that, Brother King. And we can use that to attract more people by getting them involved in various activities that ultimately lead them into the actual church worship itself. Do any of our other panelists have a comment on this?
Yes, I was just thinking also about how we treat people, especially if they're newcomers of the church and they're new Christ and babes, and we have to be mindful of the way that we act towards them, because that depends on whether they come back or not. And, you know, sometimes we have to make them feel welcome and in order for them to come back and not feel like we're holier than thou because we've been in the church for a long time and we just think that we can do and say certain things, and that's not good and it's not true. Like I said, that depends on whether that person comes back or not. And I thought about the old church. They used to always, I think it was before or after, they would ask, is there any visitors here? And the visitors could stand and they could tell, that say their name and tell what church they belong to, and they always offered them the chance to join the church. That makes them feel welcome the first time, and they are likely to come back again.
Yes, yes, that is very true, Mother Brooks. So, Elder Brooks, so these are things that we need to consider as we think about our churches and how we are and how we relate to people that come in. I'd like now to open this up to our callers, to our listeners who may be out there who have a comment or a response on these questions. Bishop Haywood, do we have anyone?
Well, right now, no one has pressed one. I want to remind everyone that if you'd like to comment or have a question, please press one on your phone. Once you press one on your phone, we do have one that did it right away, so let's see. Caller, you are area code 414-690. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Elder B. Emerson from Milwaukee, Johnson under Bishop Strong, William J. Strong, and I have been listening. I had called in earlier and I didn't press one, but I have been listening to, you know, what has been said by the panelists, and I agree, and I think that is very interesting, and I think that our churches, there's so many people that are not going to church and not returning to church, that this is a good topic and very interesting.
Well, thank you, Sister Elder B, for that comment.
You're welcome.
What we're going to do then is we're just going to dive in, and when you hear your area code and the first three extensions of your phone, then you'll know that we're talking to you. Oftentimes, they don't know we're talking to them. They think they're still listening to the radio. But when you hear your area code and the first three extensions of your phone number, we're not going to give out your full phone number, but just the first three. And let someone else try to figure out who you are from there, which is, I don't know how many variables there are between the last four numbers. What, like a one in a billion? I think at the point you're safe. But we're going to go ahead and we'll call in right now. Caller, you're at area code. Caller, you are at area code 301-758. Do you have a question or comment? Area code 301-758. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Elder Hunt. I did not have a question or a comment, but since you did call me, I would like to say that this topic that is being discussed today is so relevant and timely, because sometimes as churches, we need to take a look at what we're doing and how we're doing things in order to attract more people to Christ. I like the survey results, especially, excuse me, the fact that people come to church to draw closer to God. And if that is the primary reason that people do come to church, then we should direct our attention to helping them achieve that goal. Our role as Christians is certainly to evangelize, to be missionaries, to be examples, but also to let people know that Christ really can make a difference in their lives. And I'm not saying that we do that as soon as they walk in the door, but when they come in the door, they should see us as being real, as being people of God, and as being people who are serious not only about our relationship with God, but also about helping new people to cultivate their relationships with God as well. And there are many ways we do that. I was really impressed with panelist King, Reverend King, talking about the social activity that's going on in their churches. Very often we can reach people in many, many different ways other than preaching a sermon the first time we see them. And as time goes on, as we form those relationships and help them to know that Christ can make a difference, they will begin to see that he will make a difference in their lives. So I think even though the research tells us that people are falling away, I have faith that we as people of God can be very influential in helping people to come to Christ or to return to church and to just be good examples for them and letting them know that all of us together have a goal to achieve, and that is to be with Christ when we pass from this life. So I thank you for this broadcast this morning and all that's been said. And I believe that there are things that we should focus on, especially if people's main concern is to be closer to God, then let us do what it takes to help them achieve that goal.
Amen.
We want to remind the callers, those that are listening in, if you're on Facebook, listening to the show, if you're on the UFCCM website listening to the show, or if you are listening directly through Blog Talk Radio, you will need to call 347-850-1405. That's 347-850-1405 in order to actually chime in, comment, and if you have a question and the like. We have, I'm going to pull in one other. You're from your area code, 443, and the first three exchanges of your number is 725. Caller, you're at 443-725. Do you have a question or comment?
Good afternoon to everyone on the panel, and this is a very good topic. This is Iris Bradford from First Church Faith Power and Deliverance. The young lady, I think her last name is Sinclair, why do they come the first time, the second time, the third time, and then become a member? That is something that we should look at, because you have some that come one time and never come again. You have some come the first time and become a member. That is a good question, and I would like to get more of a feedback on that comment that she made. Deacon, I commend you for what you're doing, because not only are you extending your hand to the members of your church, but you're extending your hand to the youth. And that is a very important issue that we have. As far as how the world has changed, people has changed, and a lot of our children are lost and looking for a way. And a better way to direct them is through Christ. I commend each and every one of you that's on this panel, and then I pray that God will enhance and grow this second service, because this is a service for me, because the things that I'm learning here, I'm writing them down. And Teacher Tyndall, God bless you. Thank you.
For Teacher Tyndall, I want to say that it's important. You know, I'm sitting here, and, you know, every now and then I try my best to stay in, you know, the production room. But I'm listening to the various comments and the dialogue that's going back and forth. And as a pastor, I think that we as pastors really need to hear from the laity and those that actually go out into the highways, byways and the hedges in order to compel those to come in. And so I am receiving today as well. You know, I don't, you know, want to believe or give the impression that we as senior pastors, at least me, know all the answers to these. And so I appreciate this conversation from those of you on the panel.
People do not go to church, because I think it appears that there are many people who might actually come, but because of some of these reasons, they don't come. And they may, this research may help us to think about where we as laity and clergy and UFCCM in general might have some opportunities to attract these individuals by thinking about some of these reasons and how we can counter them. So according to the research, here are the reasons why the people gave for why they do not attend church. Okay? 37% of them said they practice their faith in other ways. And of course, I don't have the full extensive research report to find out if they drilled down into asking them what some of these other ways were. But again, 37% said they practice their faith in other ways. 28% said they are not believers. 26% said no reason is very important, meaning they just don't go. 23% said they haven't found a house of worship that they like. 18% said they don't like the sermon. And 14% said they don't feel welcome. 12% said they don't have time. 9% said they have poor health or mobility issues. And 7% said there is no house of worship in their area. And more than half the people who believe but don't attend regularly are women. And the other interesting thing is, why do so many women not go? More than 6 in 10 women said it's because they have poor health, and more than half of them, this is really striking, more than half of the respondents, 54% of the women, said it's because they have not felt welcomed by congregations. So I want to open this up now to our panel. If you ask people that you know who do not go to church, they could be people in your family, your neighbors, whatever, what reasons do you think they would give you? Would they give you any of these reasons, or would there be other reasons?
I think, this is Sister Monica. I believe that I've heard pretty much all of these reasons. I think that people who say they practice their faith in their own way, I would just add to that, for those that I know who practice their faith in their own way have become hurt by or wounded by the church, and sometimes that happens where they get disgruntled. And sometimes it's really spiritually they are wounded, and so they'd rather practice at home. There's not, you know, the non-believers is, of course, I think, I'm surprised it's only 28%, to be honest. But I guess the things that we can do something the most about are helping people feel welcome and helping those that don't have a way to get there, to give them an opportunity to get there by providing rides. Mm-hmm. And the poor health, I guess, you know, that poor health is an interesting one. We,
don't really go out into the homes, you know what I mean? But that's a thought. But we can come into their homes through, I know that we do Facebook Live. So there are ways that we can stream into people's homes. But I think that the helping people to feel welcomed, and I've worked with youth in New York City who were runaway and homeless youth, and I had a youth tell me the reason people join gangs is because they have a need to belong, a need to be loved unconditionally, a need to be wanted, and a need to be needed. Mm. And I think if we provide that for people, we will find that they will stick around a lot longer.
Yes, and I think those reasons, Sister Monica, even though they were applied to gangs, those very same reasons are applicable to why people don't go to church and things that we can do using those reasons to attract them. And we're going to talk a little bit later more about what we can do, but I want to get some more feedback on this question from you all. Your experience, if you people that you know, what reasons do you think they would give you for not attending? Elder Brooks?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. I did have a bad experience as a young child in church. They used to have different choirs, and you know they had the male chorus, they had the senior choir, they had a young adult choir, they had the youth choir. And I think I was maybe 11 or 12. So I think I was like on the youth choir. And at that time, we were going to nursing homes to sing and to take food. And we were practicing this song, and the director wanted me to sing this particular song. So we rehearsed the song and rehearsed the song. And when we went to the nursing home to take the food and to do the program, when it was time for me to sing, this other person sang the lead part of the song. So I'm thinking, well, when was she rehearsing the song? Because she never rehearsed the song at the church when we had rehearsal. It hurt me so bad because she sang, and I blamed the leader and I blamed the choir director because if she was going to sing the song, why would you have both of us rehearsing the song? And then she hit somewhere else to rehearse, and I'm rehearsing at the church. And you know, Margaret, I love to sing. I always did. But that hurts a person. See, and I could have grown up not wanting to go to church at all anymore because I was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I never understood it. They never explained it to me, and I just left it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 12 years old. But you have to be careful about doing things like that. If a grown person can't handle it, what you think about a child?
Mm-hmm. Well, you raise a very important topic, which we would need a whole other broadcast to address this issue of church hurt.
Yes.
And, of course, I have some thoughts on that, and I'm sure you do, and probably many others. Because that is something that we hear very frequently, that people say they were hurt in church and that's why they haven't gone back. So, you know, that's a topic for another discussion, but it is a viable, it's a real one, because this is what all of us have heard people say at one time or another. Brother King, if you ask people who do not go, what reason do you think they would give you?
First experience, some of my family, you know, I'm sure your church, every other church has a day where they have friends and family day.
Mm-hmm.
Used to in times past, Sunday was a Sabbath. Nobody worked on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some that I have to work. Are you working every Sunday? That's 4 to 5 Sundays a month, sometimes 5, excuse me. Are you working every Sunday? But I think ultimately what it all boils down to is simple as a choice.
Mm-hmm.
People and priorities, you know, priorities finance their self. So if you're able to do everything else but church, then, okay, what's the real reason you're not coming? I think Elder Brooks said a second ago, which is a whole different topic, is church hurt. There's something inside that they hadn't let out yet, and they hold a resentment against the church, not a church, but the church as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the church pays the price for that. It could be a church in Disneyland that hurt you, but here we are, a church in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has to pay for that. But ultimately, I think it boils down to a choice. A lot of people won't come to church because at church, you have to come to terms with who you are. That's what the church does. The church makes you identify with you. And a lot of people, I heard the results on the people that said they worship differently. They worship via computer or laptop. The thing about that is you don't have to connect. You could be doing homework and have church playing in the background. That's not a connection. That you hear it, but are you receiving it?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the church as a building, when you rub the shoulders with sister left and brother right, there's got to be some kind of frictional of a relationship that you got to interact. And a lot of people are introverts. They don't want to interact. They've been so, I mean, it could be the only child in the home. It could be the only left living sibling. So they tend to retort back to themselves. And what that does, it forces them to shell up or to clam up. And they don't want the physical action of relationship, a rubbing shoulder with someone, fellowship with someone, someone asking them physically how they're doing it and truly meaning it. So when they don't get that interaction, in their mind they're thinking, I just don't want to do it. But when they don't get it, what they don't say is, I'm cheating myself of this natural relationship, this natural affection where no one's trying to take advantage of me. They just want to see me better. They want to see me develop. They want to see me grow spiritually, physically, and mentally. So what happens is, like I said a second ago, they retort to themselves and they develop an invisible, an intangible hurt that's not really a hurt. It's just the results of you pulling back away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And as laity members, we're only we're second level leadership. If we do get that person to come in, this was a question earlier. I think one of the callers called and they said it. If someone comes in and nobody goes and embraces them, asking their name, did you enjoy the service? Sometimes in our announcement, we ask, are there any first-time visitors? Okay, there is one. If nobody goes to that person after the service is over and asks them or says to them, hey, I'm glad to have you. Who bought you? What made you come? If they don't get that, then it's just another church.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you go to them and you engage them, you don't have to ask their life story. It's their first time coming. Ask them their name. It does not matter what they work, what they do for a living. All they need to know is that person knows me by name now.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's where that relationship starts. Everything has to have a start. And as second-level leadership and laity members, even if you don't have a title, you do have a commission. That's to preach the gospel. That's to reach to the lost, to evangelize the lost. And like the sister said earlier on another call-in, you don't have to go give them a sermon right off. They don't need a sermon. That's the preacher's job. That's the bishop's job. That's the preacher's job.
Mm-hmm.
Our job as laity members is to be just that, a member. You can't be a member of any team if you don't interact. And if
Amen.
No one interacts with anyone else outside of who they know or their norm, then church for those people in the statistics that don't want to come, it becomes the norm. So why would I go there? At least when I go to work, you know, they call me by name when they need me to do something. Or when
yeah.
I go out to school to check in on my kids, they know me by kid's name because I'm that kid's parent. But when I come to the church, who knows me?
Amen.
I'm just the next Joe. I'm in, I'm out, nobody embraces me, nobody said anything to me. So they begin mentally, because everything starts in the mind, then it moves 18 inches down to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their mind, I'm insignificant, I don't matter. Why come? Nobody knows me. It doesn't matter if I do this tomorrow. If I had a birthday yesterday, nobody said happy birthday. You know, that's another thing we do here. We try to get everybody's birthday to let them know, because you never know. Someone, they just need to hear happy birthday outside of the house.
Yes.
All things we can do as members to let those people know you mean something. You
that's
are
right.
somebody. And
well, you know, Brother King,
is,
I'm
yes,
sorry
ma'am?
To interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but don't get us started on when they come to the door, what they see at the door before they even get into the sanctuary.
Right. It's something about a warm smile. I'm telling you, a warm smile and a great embrace, it
mm-hmm.
makes you, it takes that weight off, and now you can go in those doors and enjoy service.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what some people come in those doors holding, what mm-hmm. weight they bear. But when you smile and embrace them, it gives them a sense of, it's okay. I'm going to be all right. And it gives them the freedom to actually enjoy worship.
This is Sister Monica.
Go ahead, Sister Monica. I just am new to Fond du Lac about 4 to 5 years ago, so I had the experience of searching for a church. And I searched around, went to a number of different churches, and I have to say the reason, well, there were two reasons for me choosing the Bread of Life. First of all, I loved their statement on their website about what they believed. But the thing that really made me stay was they welcomed me, and I shared this recently. Bishop said to me, "You belong here," after they welcomed and said whatever. And I just, that's what pulled me in.
Well, you know, this discussion has engendered in my mind so many topics that can be addressed. And I just loved all of your input and what Deacon King was saying was really resonating with me. And you know, we have to understand that people will never remember anything that we say or do, but they will remember how we make them feel.
Right.
Yeah.
And that goes back to a lot of what he was saying, and even, you know, what happens at the door. I am a group leader in a women's Bible study fellowship. There are about 400 or so women. And the first time I went there, everyone smiled, and I had never walked in a room with all these women. I mean, this huge sanctuary. And everyone you saw smiled, said hello, greeted you with a hug, and it really just engaged me totally into that organization to the extent that now I am one of the group leaders. But it was how they welcomed and how they greeted, and they were so warm. And that's the same thing that you all were alluding to, and Brother King was stating in his comment, that we have to make people feel welcome,
yes,
wanted, and loved.
Right.
I don't care who you are. Every human being wants to feel that somebody cares for them and somebody loves them.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, we get from this the significance of not only relationship, but the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to open this up now to, because one of my questions was going to be for you all, take any one of these reasons and tell what you think we as laity can do. But I think you all have given some examples. So I want to open up to our listeners, Bishop Haywood, to see if there's anyone out there who has a comment, a response, a question, an observation.
All right. Well, Mr. Tindler, give me 1 second. I'm going to pull some folks on here. I decided while I was sitting here at the church, I'm doing Facebook Live right now, and there's some folks actually chiming in. Looks like they're waving and whatnot on Facebook Live. I'm encouraging them to call in as well. But I'm going to start opening up the lines again. Listen up, listeners. I don't know if that was a double listen up, listeners.
Listen up, listeners.
But if you will just press 1 on your phone, press the number 1, I'll know that you want to come in. But I'm going to give you your, I'm going to call your area code and your first 3 exchanges on your phone, and then you'll know it's you. So I'm going to, right now, we're going to pull in, let's see. Caller, you are at area code, we have a 920 area code here. You're at 920-344. 920-344. Caller, go ahead. Okay, 1 second. Caller, you're at 920-344. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Sister Tequila. God blessing to everyone. And just listening to how we should be, you know, to those that don't go to church and how they do not come to church, and what we should be doing to get people to either to return to church. One is we should, you know, welcome them with warm smiles, also, and to, you know, just greet them and make them feel welcome, you know, just make them feel loved. Some, you know, people, you know, do want to feel loved. We should try to do things differently in the church, come up with ways for people. There are, you know, are just so many different things. People have, you know, their reasons for why they don't come to church and for why they don't return to church. But one of the things is for that, it's just that first, that greeter smile when they first walk in. And that is the first open door for when they first come in and come into the church. That is the open door.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Tequila, for those observations.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to pull in a couple of other callers here. Let's see. Caller, you are at area code 443. Area code sounds very familiar to me, but you're at area code 443-725. 443-725. Carla, go ahead. Carla, you're at area code 443-725. Go ahead. Well, we'll move on to the next one. Caller, you are at area code 920. Let's see, where'd you go? All right, there you are. You're area code 920-815. Go right ahead. Area code 920-815. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment? Well, Teacher Tendon, looks like we have a lot of shy folks out here. Lots of folks listening, but we have a lot of folks that are shy.
Well, we just want to make sure we give those who have something to share an opportunity, but we're very happy that we have listeners who are taking this in. And I will say this has been a very rich...
I'm sorry. We looks like three just popped up.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead. We're going to go in this order. Caller, you're at 443-683. We're going to bring in you in first. Then we have a caller at 414-690. Now, if you've called in, caller, I can't tell at 414-690. Please press 1 again on your phone and it'll disappear. Otherwise, I'm going to call you. And then we have a caller at 920-979. But first, we're going to go to caller at 443-683. Go ahead.
Hello, and good afternoon to everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Sister Alanda Harris. And I have a comment on the behalf of why people doesn't go to church. And with a lot of reasons. I'm going to start off by saying, well, you know, I'm not that old school, but I've been raised in an old school family. And we were raised with things that's going on now that we were not allowed to do in the past. Like we couldn't ride our bikes. We couldn't go to the mall. We couldn't wash clothes. I don't know about work, but it was just a lot of things that we are allowed to do now that we were definitely not allowed to do, you know, years ago. And now the situation has changed. It just seemed like, you know, people put church aside because it's like so many other things to do, you know, and the weekend is short for, you know, working and taking care of things during the week that people feel like, you know, Saturdays and Sundays are the days to get things done. I'm not speaking in the church. I'm speaking on why people don't come to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, I think that should be a way of, you know, us as God believers, that, you know, we should try to expound, and if it's somewhere that's in the Bible, you know, why we should make this day sacred, you know, as a, like for me, an example, I like to worship. So I like the togetherness with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own worship experience at home. I heard someone mention before when you at the computer desk and you're doing like homework or work and you listening to music, that's a worship experience in itself, you know, being in your own natural habitat. But it's something different about, you know, worshiping together with other saints.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of things have changed since years ago, and people don't take it seriously, you know, these days on Sundays, as far as, you know, going to church and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people do make it where if they do work on Sundays, you know, they may go to like a Bible study on Wednesdays, you know, or every third Sunday or something like that. But I just, that's just my opinion. So, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sister Alanda. And I can certainly relate to coming up being taught the same way, certain things you didn't do on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And for me in my house, there are still certain things I won't do on Sunday because I set it aside as the Lord's day. But everyone
mm-hmm.
isn't like that. And so that is one of the challenges that the church has in terms of how to kind of divert people from those things and divert their attention more toward the things of God. So thank you for sharing.
Teacher Tyndall, we have a caller at 920-979. I actually recognize this phone number, but caller, are you there? You're at 920-979-87. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, I know that voice.
Hey, God bless everyone. This is Overseer Haywood.
I thought that was you.
Chair Lady of UFCCM Women's Ministry.
Yes,
I'm really
welcome.
Enjoying this topic is just really awesome. I'm really loving what I'm hearing. You know, and I'm thinking back on a lot of things that I think changed over the years. You know, certainly not like what it used to be. When I was growing up, and you did find that there were more families that came. You know, I had friends, and we would go to each other's homes, and there was a lot of teaching on how to act, how to behave, and these kinds of things. Although some of it, you know, was a little heavy, and it caused people to believe that they just weren't worthy enough to come into the church. You know, and today we find where there's going to be a lot of single parents, you know, that kind of thing. And there's going to always be excuses. You know, we can listen to those all day long, and they haven't changed. And, of course, the enemy's tactics haven't changed. You know, he's going to still throw the same stuff out there. But we have to be intentional when it comes to bringing people in. We've got to get back to teaching, you know, doing the lay member teaching our elders, our members, you know, how to be welcoming. You got to be intentional about who you have at the door that's greeting, you know,
mm-hmm.
your ushers, anybody that's going to make contact with the people coming in, you know, and that greeter at the door, that's first impression. So you want to have the right person that's even greeting them as they come in. You know, Bishop Haywood, you know, he'll often say, you know, don't come talking to us after church.
Mm-hmm.
You see us all the time. Go and greet these people that are new and coming in. And I think we as a church, a Bread of Life, we're good at doing that. But we have to get even more intentional about, you know, making ourselves known in the communities that our churches are. We can't just make it about Sunday, and it's got to be what's happening on the outside of Sunday in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make it known to the community that you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and give them a solid word, and we don't compromise. It's not about making people feel good. You got to make them feel bad sometimes. And
mm-hmm.
it's about, you know, giving them the truth and giving them the word of God. But we have to take it back to the street. you know, do the true revivals. I grew up in a time where there were always revivals going on, you know. And the teachings on the Friday nights where the youth were pulled up and not just praying with them, but you were circled and put into circles of individuals that helped you understood what salvation meant.
Mm-hmm.
What it meant to follow Christ. But you know what? And no matter what you do, you're not going to pull everybody in, but we know that that's to be expected. But there's somebody that's out there that really wants Christ. They really want to know who God is. And when we're living before them, we have to be careful of the life that we live before the people.
That's right.
You know, not to live raggedy lives. Let our testimonies be true. And when a person comes to you and you're going to hear it all the time, well, there's people in the church that's not right. Well, of course there's people in the church that's not right.
Right.
That's why they're coming to church. You know, so it's giving people an understanding of what the church really is. And it's a hospital that's for those that are searching and looking.
Yeah.
You know, and not to
that's
make
right.
them feel bad because they fall. You know, when they fall, that they have a place to go. And we do have an advocate. That's
yes.
there to help you when you do fall, because you will. And we have to be there as a family, as a church family that's going to be there to embrace and let them know, hey, we're here to help you, you know, to put you in a place where you can grow stronger. So there's a lot of things that can be covered under this topic, you
yes.
know, that really you can go in today talking about
mm-hmm.
it because there's so much, you
mm-hmm.
know, and the experiences that are there. But as a church, I believe that if we just get ourselves back out there, teach people of their religious rights, because some folks believe that they have to go to church on a Sunday because they're on that schedule. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have, you know, some of our children, they tell them, hey, you put me on a schedule on Sunday, guess what? I'm not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go in the interview letting them know I can
right.
do every day, you know, except Sunday. However, I'm willing to work on a Sunday as long as it's after my worship time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
free to go. And just have people understand that some folks are just going to use it as an excuse and a reason.
Yes.
But there are some people that really do believe that they have to, you know, give up their Sunday time when they don't. So as
mm-hmm.
a church, we have to be there to teach them what your religious rights are. Get out in the community and let the community know that you're there. And you're there to be a support to the community. So a lot that I can say, I'm going to end it with that, but I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing. It's a beautiful topic. And I thank you, Teacher Tinder, for presenting it to us today.
Well, Lady Haywood, you have preached a sermon. I was sitting here listening to you. And, you know, one of the things I told the panel is that we're going to do what we're going to do, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit take over and do his thing. And he's done it.
Amen.
I just felt
Amen.
The passion in your voice and what you said, and so many things that you said resonated with me. One thing I want to point out is you used the word intentional. In all of this, we need to be intentional about what we do, how we do it, when we do
what
it,
we do
where
it,
we do
when
it.
We do it. That's right.
We need
yeah.
to be
Amen.
Intentional.
Amen.
Amen. And if we
yeah.
think about, and what I think the Holy Spirit dealt with me about this article, because I pray about these broadcasts, and sometimes I'm sweating bullets on my own trying to figure out what to present before a laity, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. Every month he comes in and he gives me direction, and this was a great direction for us to go in. And what Pastor Lady Haywood did was really should really be the subject of a seminar exclusively devoted to the things that she was sharing, because these are the keys to attracting and retaining people in the church. Amen.
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 So we thank God for that. And I just want to have one other little quick comment, because you know I have to have my whole comments. In the reasons why people don't like to go to church, the 18% said they don't like the sermons. When I saw that, something rose up within me and said, people may not like the pure word, but as Pastor Bev said, they may not like it, but that should not stop us from doing it. Now, the way we do it and how we present it, that is something we can work on. But we should never, ever fail to give people the truth.
That's right.
The truth,
yeah,
of the word.
Amen.
And we see so many times in churches now where churches try to attract people by watering down the word. That is not of God, and it's not so from the beginning. The word is what it will take to win, to convince, to convict. Jesus said through the Holy Spirit, he convicts. And this is what people need to hear, the true, unadulterated word of God.
Yep.
So I'm on my soapbox now. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers?
Well, I'm on Facebook Live, and I have a young man on there. He said he wanted to ask Lady Haywood a question. I've been typing and asking. So if you're still there, just go ahead and type your question, and I'll ask it for you. Or you can call in. You'll find the number on the Facebook page, and you can call right in, press 1, and then I'll ask it for you. But I want to ask Lady Haywood a quick question. I'm still at the church. You didn't forget. You're going to come back and pick me up, right?
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're going to come back and pick me up, right? I'm still here.
Of course I am, Bishop.
Oh, boy.
Teacher Tindall?
Yes.
You know, what Lady Haywood said was a mouthful and a belly to sleep on. About the Word of God, how people, they don't want to hear that sermon. Well, the sermon is not the sermon. That's the Holy Ghost trying to get you to see, trying to get you to come to terms with you and what you're doing. It's not right.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I heard a young lady say about growing up in the old school. You know, I'm 35, but I was raised by my mom and my grandparents. And every time someone in the house got sick, you know, we were lined up and we got a teaspoon of cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're sick or not, no matter, that was not a good taste.
No.
It was in you. It came out. And that's just like the Word of God. It's made
yes.
to clean.
That
what a lot of people don't want, because it's not cherry flavored, it's not grape flavored, it's not bubblegum flavored. It's pure, it's uncut,
it's
cut, and it's dry. It's that's what a lot of people don't want. They don't want They don't want what doesn't feel good. They want to hear the prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. God's word is not all about prosperity.
No, it's
not.
That's
how you need to hear.
Amen.
You need to hear, get out of that bed and live right. You need to hear,
that's
up and fly right.
Amen.
You need to hear
Amen.
That God created Adam and Eve and not Steve and Steve.
Go
and
ahead
that's
now.
That's what people don't want
right.
to hear. They want to hear what's
that's
comfortable,
right.
what leads them complacent. They don't want to grow. They don't want to change. And what they do
right.
is, well, they preaching on me. No, they're not preaching on you. They're preaching to their spirit.
They're preaching the word.
And they want to get away from the word of God. They want to go to all the prosperity mess. They don't want to change. But prosperity doesn't teach you that some days it's going to rain. It's not going to be 71 with the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going to be 65 with cold rains and the wind chill of 30 below. So that's, you know,
right.
people, they'll say it's a sermon, but it's not the sermon. It's a conviction of the Holy
yeah.
Ghost speaking to that demon
Amen.
And that spirit and that sin that you're waddling in.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's
right.
Right.
That
Amen.
Is so true, Brother King. Bishop Haywood, did the young man call in?
Well, I'm on Facebook Live, and then people are typing. There's a couple of questions on Facebook Live, and I'll ask it in this order. There's the young lady. Her name is Oralee. She's in Texas, I believe. And I'm going to read verbatim what she's typed. I believe people come to church to become a part of something. For me, as a stay-at-home mom, I enjoy that my 3-year-old gets to go to children's church and get to praise God with people his age. And I and my husband get to praise God. I'm not perfect. I fall daily. But I'm truly a work in progress. I enjoy watching Sundays. Thank you for continued support in serving God. Thank you, my sister. And she just wanted to make a comment that some people... looks like she's just saying that she's a stay-at-home person, but she loves the fact that there's somewhere where the children can go.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of times we get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We get that as well. You know, people check out your webpage or whatever the case is, and they want to know if there's somewhere the children can go, because right now, you know, we turned our basement, part of our church, into a sports area. And for the next month or so, there's really nowhere for the children to go. And we understand that. We're rectifying that problem in another month or
mm-hmm.
two. But I think that that was the point she was getting across, that they'd like to be in service, but they're not going to come to your church if there's nowhere necessarily for the children to go.
Good point. Good information.
The other brother had a question for Pastor Bev overseer Haywood, and she just wanted, and I think she answered it. Maybe he didn't hear it, but the question that she had, he had, is what about people that can't get off on Sunday? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Elder Andre says, what about the people that can't get off on church Sunday? What do you do about that? And I don't know if anybody can chime in on that.
Someone is moving their phone around or something. But does it, the panelists, do you have any comments on, or Lady Bev, on what do you do if you cannot get off on Sunday?
Well, this is how I see it, and this is how I see it, that anything that God has for you or has given you is not going to do anything that's going to remove you from Him, or put you in a position where your walk can't be closed. And I know people have the thought where I don't have to be in a physical building, you know, to worship God. But I think look at your times and make contact with your pastor. You have a pastor, talk to your pastor about it. You know, and maybe there's times that you're not working that you can still come to the church, and even if it's working out some personal time until the Lord does something different in your life. But we can't just leave it there and not do anything about it. You know, we had a young lady at our church that she was ready to take on two jobs that were going to, you know, keep her out of church because, you know, she needed some money. And she asked Bishop about it, and he told her, you know, well, no, I don't see this as being, you know, what God has for you. And it upset her, but she didn't take the job, and she ended up with something better that paid more than the two jobs combined.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a person that believes that God will take care of you, but we do have to put Him first.
Yes.
You know, and not allow ourselves to be removed from the fellowship, because we're not to forsake that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but pray and ask the Lord, you know, to open up something for you that you're not compromising the time that you give to God. And I believe
Amen.
That He'll open up a way for you, and He'll also bring you and give you something better.
See, yes.
sometimes we get locked into a thing, and we think this is all God has
mm-hmm.
for me, when He has more.
Yeah,
that's
that
right.
Lord.
Amen. Seek
you know,
first the kingdom of God.
I was on a job like that, and they played over me, and I worked a position for 4 years, and they gave it to somebody else because now they gave it a title. And
mm-hmm.
it made me feel bad, and I sat at my desk, and I put my head down. I heard the voice of God say, do you believe that this is all I have for you?
Mm.
And I ended up with something that paid more, and it was a better position. So don't
See?
Allow yourself to just stay in that place, but seek God about it. And
That's
He
right.
will open up a way and make a way for you. He knows what we need even before we ask Him about it.
That's
before
right, Pastor
Beth. Before we think about it, He already knows it. So
yes.
why limit Him because, you know, I have to be at a job on Sunday? Don't allow for anything to remove you from what God has for you.
Exactly.
Trust Him in it, and He'll bring to you something better, and it will position you where you don't have to compromise your time that you give to God.
That's right.
Right.
Well, you know, we had a lady at First Church years ago. She's still there, one of our mothers, and she had to work on Sunday, and she was really unhappy that she had to work on Sunday. We banded together and went before God as a group and prayed. And don't you know her? The people that she worked for changed her schedule. So God can do it. All we got to do is ask and wait and let Him do His thing.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
sometimes all you have to do to a young man, I don't know his financial standing, I don't know his social standing, but you'd be surprised if you bring it to your immediate supervisor what you want to do. You'd be surprised if you
That's
go in
right.
and say, can I come in an hour earlier to leave for service? Or can I use my lunch break to go to
yes.
service? Or can I come in an hour after service and just work over?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not about changing a job. It's just about letting your supervisor, those people, know that there's something important to you. Yes, I need this job, but I need God. You know, when you go through that, what right person would actually say to you, no? And even if they say no, that's okay. You know, there was a time where I was working. Go ahead. Okay. There was a time where I was working 9 to 9, 9 p.m. to 9 that morning. And I would miss service. But like they said, we prayed, and I got off of night jobs, and now I work basically 7 to 1, 7 to 2, 5 days a week, off every weekend. All you have to
Amen.
Do is give God your best. Let God do the rest.
That's
you know,
right.
The battle
That's
is not
right.
ours anyway. All we got to do is show
do you,
God that we're willing to put up a fight and let God do the fight for us. So to that young man, I would
Amen.
Say go to that supervisor and give him your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Allow him to do what he's going to do. And when he don't do what he's going to do, then you beseech God. Okay, God, I want to come to you. I want to worship with you. I need you to change my situation and make me available. And who knows what God might do. God might drop something that you ain't looking for from the east to take you way out west. You never know. All
That's
you got to
right.
do is try God and allow God to be who he is.
That's right.
Right.
And God will give you favor, too. He will give you favor. Well, you know, we have gone way over our time, and I don't regret that because this has been a wonderful, uplifting, enlightening broadcast. And, panelists, I told you it would be about an hour, so don't blame me. But just say that the Holy Spirit took charge and led us to where we are. But we've had a very rich discussion today. And I would like to thank our panelists, Sister Zindler, Deacon Raymond King, and Elder Brooks, who graciously agreed to participate, and also to our callers who called in with your insights and your inputs. And it, the final word, I think this data shows that there are people out there who might possibly come to church if we could and would address some of these issues, particularly
mm-hmm.
the ones around people not feeling welcome or people with poor health and mobility. As Sister Zindler said, and I had made in my notes, see if we can get a way to bring them to church or even take the church to them. I have neighbors who the husband's in a wheelchair. I go over and pray with them and plan to do Bible study with them so at least they have a way of hearing the word. And those where you can, if you have to pick somebody up, we've all done that, and bring them. But this really is something to think about, for us to think about and pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit as we make every effort in the UFCCM not only to reach higher but to reach out. So please plan to tune in to our November broadcast. I'm praying now. I don't know what the Holy Spirit will give me for next month, but just tune in, same place, same time, Saturday, November the 10th, and see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us as UFCCM laity. May God be with you all, and let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. Father, we thank you for stirring us up and generating ideas in our mind that we can use to attract and draw people into your house. Thank you for those who shared things that they're currently doing, that they inspire us, that we can go to our local church and do some of those same things. Father, we ask you to bless this fellowship, bless this ministry, bless each and every one of us as we go down from this place. Keep us in your care. Lead us and guide us and direct our paths, Father. We ask you to keep us, and we will gather again together on Saturday, November 10th, Lord willing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Amen.
Blessings to you all.
Blessings to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings, go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
There is a definite need for